Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Nice to see young faces. I work in the temple. And those faces are not as young as yours, but it's nice to be here. I'm Joel Zabriskie. I'm going to talk about patriarchal blessings. And I want to ask Emily if she'd come back down. Emily, if you'd come back down, I'd like to have you be my scribe.
Okay, I can be your scribe.
Okay, great. How many of you have received your patriarchal blessing? Okay. I had the privilege a week ago Sunday of giving a patriarchal blessing to a 13-year-old, one of my granddaughters. We, as indicated, we have 40 grandchildren, and 18 have received their patriarchal blessings from me. 19 have received their patriarchal blessings, but one was prior to when I was called as a patriarch. And it's a humbling responsibility. So, what is a patriarchal blessing?
Personal revelation.
Great. Okay. It is. So an outline of my life is what it could be. It's conditional, isn't it? Welcome to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We receive blessings as we are faithful. If we are faithful, it's conditional. Yes.
It's like a promise blessing, and it's like they're not like really if you work up to be what those blessings want, then you get them. But if you like do something in your life that's not worthy for those things.
And with a little caveat at the end of that, if you recognize that you've lost the blessings because of what you've done, you can repent and should be able to receive those blessings either in this life or the next. So I'm always hopeful that I'll get the blessings stated in there. Yes. It is a roadmap. It is. We call it the covenant path, don't we? It is a roadmap. Is it going to cover everything that's going to happen to you in this life? It doesn't?
Sometimes there are things that will help you serve people. So you'll read something in your patriarchal blessing that will really bless your life. And
some of the blessings and promises may not be fulfilled until the next life. And that's okay. We're eternal beings. I anticipate receiving blessings in this life and the next life. Okay? So, Emily, you as a scribe, and I don't want you to get confused because there's a whiteboard and a white screen.
Yeah,
don't write on that. Write on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
As we have this little discussion, I want you to write down what you identify as gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, what? Think of one gift of the Spirit and tell me what you think of. Translation. Oliver Cowdery was given the gift of translation. Missionaries.
The
gift of tongues, speaking in different languages.
The gift of discernment.
The gift of discernment. This 13-year-old granddaughter, after we got through with her blessing, she said, you said a word in my blessing that I didn't understand, and it was discernment. So what is discernment? Yeah, to determine what is good and what is evil. And if we are true and faithful to our covenants, we'll have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can whisper to us and help us determine or discern what is good and what is evil. because the Holy Ghost knows all things. Yes. Knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge of the truth. There are truths and there are falsehoods, right? And we want to be able to identify and know using that gift of what truths are.
Ministering of angels.
How about being to identify when you are ministered to by an angel? Okay? That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Just like ministering of angels.
How about feeling promptings?
Feeling promptings.
Okay?
Comfort.
Comfort. Yeah. When I was asked to speak, I'll get back to you in just a minute. When I was asked to speak here, I started to list gifts of the Spirit, and I kept adding them on my iPad, and I even added one today as I was on my walk. And I'll tell you the one that I added today, and I'm not sure why I didn't think about this several weeks ago, and it's the gift of love. Isn't that one of the primary gifts that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ has? Especially the gift of love for his children. Someone else had their hand raised. Yes. Okay. And being able to listen and understand what the Holy Ghost is teaching us.
Healing.
Okay. Let's take one or two more and then we'll go on to the next. Visions. I'm not sure I've had a vision yet, but it might be possible. It might be possible. Okay. You can feel angelic ministering. Okay. And one more.
Prophecy.
You can prophesy. If you do this, this will happen. If you do not do this, this will not happen. Gift of prophecy. Okay, so we talked about gifts of the Spirit. We talked about what a patriarchal blessing is. I haven't asked anybody to spell patriarchal yet. Maybe I won't. What is not a patriarchal blessing?
A
fortune teller. My wife worked with some people who were not members of the church and not familiar with a lot of things in the church, including patriarchal blessings. And when I was called as a patriarch 10 years ago, she told this coworker that I'd been called as a patriarch and to give patriarchal blessings. And the coworker said, "What is that?" And so my wife tried to describe it. And when she got through with the description, her coworker said, "Oh, kind of like tarot cards, huh?" Well, a fortune teller or tarot cards or that sort of thing is opposite of a patriarchal blessing. Tarot cards might identify what's going to happen to you regardless of what you do. But a patriarchal blessing is based on the principle of agency. Yes. Like gifts, like blessings for healing. Yeah. That's true. So what do you think is going to be in your patriarchal blessing, or what has been in your patriarchal blessing you've identified?
Some blessings to help me, tiny little blessings to help me guide my life within that blessing.
Help guide your life? Okay. Tribe. Okay. That's one of the main elements of a patriarchal blessing. In fact, we're instructed that if it doesn't include a naming of a tribe, we're supposed to put our hands back on your head and indicate which tribe. So we're talking about Cherokees and Navajos? No? Say that again. Tribes of Israel. Israel's a place, right? Also a person. Was Israel known by another name?
Jacob.
Okay. Who is Jacob's father? Isaac was his father, and Abraham was his grandfather. So we use this term Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay. So tell me about Abraham. Why is Abraham so important to us? He kind of started the importance of family and came to understood what families are supposed to be about. He had a desire to be faithful. He desired to be able to hold the priesthood and exercise it with righteousness. And because of those desires, he was visited by Heavenly Father and given certain promises that we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, Abraham, if you are faithful, there will be at least five things. Prosperity, posterity, promised land, priesthood, and the Messiah will come through your lineage. Okay? So I memorized it using four P's plus the Messiah. Prosperity, posterity, promised land, and priesthood. We all like a place to live, don't we? We want to have a promised land. We want the blessings of the priesthood. Those blessings can only come through the priesthood. We love posterity, right? I hope you're loved by your family. And I hope you love your family. So those blessings were promised to Abraham as he was faithful. Those blessings were promised to Isaac and to Jacob. And through Jacob, how many wives did Jacob have? Four. And how many sons? 12. That's why we call them the 12 tribes of Israel. Have any of you memorized the 12 names of the tribes of Israel? Did you sing the primary song? No? It must be a new one since you got out of primary. I don't know that song, but they're able to talk about all the 12 names of the tribes of Israel. No, there are 12 sons. Okay, so we'll go through it, and I'm going to give you a long answer to your question. Can I? All right. The oldest son, okay, so when Adam was first on the earth, he called his children together and gave them father's blessings or patriarchal blessings, and the oldest son received what's called the birthright. The birthright is defined in the scriptures is inheritance. If the father has three sons, his wealth is divided into four portions, and the oldest son gets a double portion. That's called the birthright. Okay? And the tradition of giving that birthright to the oldest son continued through generation after generation. Reuben, who was the oldest of Jacob's sons, lost the birthright through transgression. So the tradition was to give the birthright to the oldest son of the second wife. Do you remember Jacob's second wife's name? His beloved Rachel. That's a love story. And her oldest son was named Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So, in all of the, and I'll go through this in a kind of a quick hurry. Gather my thoughts here for a moment. Joseph, as you know, was given a coat of many colors, and his brothers didn't like that. Joseph had a gift of being able to interpret dreams, and he'd dream a dream, and he'd tell his brothers the dream, and he'd interpret the dream, and they didn't like it. For instance, he dreamed about 12 sheaves of wheat standing in the field. And he said, "You're the 11, and I'm the one, and you bowed down to me in my dream." Can you imagine if you're one of the 11? Would you like the one? They didn't like Joseph. Joseph went to check on his brothers as they're tending sheep, and they saw him from afar and conspired to kill him. The oldest one, Reuben, convinced them not to do that, so they threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery, and then took his coat of many colors and took blood from a kid goat and put it on the coat and took it to Jacob the father and said, Joseph is dead. Where did Joseph go?
Egypt.
Egypt is ruled by a man by the name of Pharaoh. He was having some dreams he didn't like. He was dreaming about 7 fat cows and 7 lean cows. Not the skinny cows that you get over at the convenience store. 7 lean cows. And he didn't know what that meant. He asked his wise men and they couldn't tell him. He hears that Joseph, who is a slave in Pharaoh's court, can interpret dreams. So he brings Joseph in and tells him the dream and says, Joseph, what's the interpretation? So what's the 7 fat cows? 7 years of plenty. And the 7 lean cows? 7 years of famine. Okay, Joseph, I'm putting you in charge of the 7 years of plenty. I want you to gather up enough food. We can survive the 7 years of famine. And that's what Joseph does. About 8 or 9 years later, Joseph's family, who lives in Canaan, is starving because of the famine, and they hear that there's food for sale in Egypt. So Jacob sends 10 sons to Egypt to buy food, keeping back Joseph's full brother, Benjamin. They come to Egypt to buy food. Who's selling the food? And he recognizes his brothers, but his brothers don't recognize him at first, and there's a story about sacks of food and sacks of money and silver cup and ransom and so forth. It's an intriguing story. Read it in Genesis. Anyway, Joseph ends up saving his family from starvation, and he teaches us one of the gifts of the Spirit. He teaches us forgiveness. He forgives what his brothers have done to him because his family has been saved. Joseph's family moves to Egypt. Joseph has those 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh's the older. Ephraim's the younger. Which one gets the birthright? It's a trick question.
Younger.
Ephraim, the younger. Joseph is so thrilled that his father, Jacob, is alive that he wants Jacob to give these grandsons their patriarchal or father's blessings. At this stage of Jacob's life, he's blind. He can't see. So Joseph puts Manasseh on Jacob's right, puts the oldest one on Jacob's right, and puts the Ephraim on Jacob's left, the younger one. Why does he put the oldest one on Jacob's right? To give him the birthright. Jacob crosses his hands and starts to give the birthright to the younger one, to Ephraim. And Joseph says, not so, my father, for the eldest is on the right. And Jacob says, yes, I know. Manasseh will be great, but Ephraim will be greater. And we read in Deuteronomy, maybe one of the reasons why he will be greater. It says, in the last days, our days, the people will be pushed to the gospel. I love that word. Pushed to the gospel by the thousands of Manasseh and the 10,000s of Ephraim. So in this case, the birthright is one of greater posterity. And by revelation, we know that the tribe of Ephraim has gathered first to receive the birthright, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what comes with birthright is responsibility. With the responsibility to gather the rest of scattered Israel home. And when I think of home, I think of 2 things. I think of the house of the Lord, where all the blessings can be promised as we receive those covenants and ordinances. And the other meaning is home to Heavenly Father, to live forever. So I'm guessing, 99% in this room have had their lineage declared, or will have their lineage declared as the tribe of Ephraim, with the responsibility to gather the rest of scattered Israel home. Now, to answer your question, by virtue of the fact that Jacob gave his grandsons, their patriarchal blessings, they become part of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12 tribes of Israel is a title with 14 members. Does that make sense? Go ahead. Two of them are tribes. Think of it this way, okay? We have the Quorum of 12 Apostles, right? When you listen to the sustaining of those who are leaders of our church, we sustain President Oaks as first counselor in the first presidency and as president of the Quorum of the 12. Then if you listen carefully, you'll find out that President Ballard is acting president of the Quorum of the 12, and the following are members of that quorum. So could there be 13 with President Oaks? Yes. So the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, is a title. Doesn't necessarily mean that there are 12 or 12. And in the case of the 12 tribes of Israel, that group, that title includes 14 individuals, including Ephraim and Manasseh.
There are
12 sons and 14 tribes, because two grandsons received their patriarchal blessing from grandpa. Okay? Does that make sense? Now you can read the father's blessings that Jacob gave to his 12 sons in the 49th chapter of Genesis. Some of them are not very complimentary. Some are very short. A couple of them share one verse. Joseph's blessing talks about that he would be a fruitful bough. What does that mean? Said lots of kids. Remember the Abrahamic promise? Posterity, lots of children. And his posterity would go over the wall. Say what? Go over the wall. In the Book of Mormon, we're told that Lehi comes from the tribe of Manasseh. And Ishmael, who brought the daughters to be wives to the sons of Lehi, he's from the tribe of Ephraim. So here's a concept for you. Their grandchildren are of mixed tribes or mixed lineage, because they have the blood of Ephraim and Manasseh. Does that make sense? So, here's Lehi with his family in Bountiful, right next to the sea. And what does God ask Nephi to build? A boat. And what are they going to do? They're going to build it, and where are they going to go? To the Promised Land. You remember one of the promises in the Abrahamic Covenant? Promised Land. The only way they could get to the Promised Land was to go over the barrier or the wall using that ship to get to the Promised Land. So in my interpretation of the promise given to Joseph, his posterity did go over the wall to the Promised Land. That all makes sense? Okay. Now, we talked a lot about one of the elements of the patriarchal blessing, and that's lineage, which tribe you belong to. A patriarch is to discern which tribe he is to declare you'll receive your blessings through. We don't take a DNA sample from you, and we don't compare it to what the 12 tribes are, because I don't know where we'd find those. And besides, you remember that concept of Lehi's and Ishmael's grandchildren being of mixed lineage? When Joseph's family moved to Egypt with those 12 tribes, those 12 families, they're intermixing and intermarrying among the tribes. So their grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren were of mixed lineage. Then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. You can imagine what kind of mixing took place. Then they finally get to the promised land, and there's more mixing of the tribes that takes place before they're scattered among the nations of the earth. How is a patriarch going to know what tribe to say? And what promises that you can receive and then fulfill the responsibilities that you have. Yes. President Oaks says it's not a scientific declaration of which tribe you belong to, but rather by inspiration, the patriarch determines which tribe to declare. He doesn't assign a tribe. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to put you into the tribe of Issachar or Naphtali or Ephraim or Manasseh. Some siblings in the same family may have their tribes declared, or their lineage declared as from different tribes. I know a set of twins, and it's not me and my twin, because I have a twin brother. And we both have shared with each other that we're the tribe of Ephraim. I know a set of twins, one's tribe of Ephraim and one's the tribe of Manasseh. And how do I know that? Because I felt inspired to declare tribe of Manasseh to one of the twins. And I did not know the tribe given to his brother, because he received his patriarchal blessing from another patriarch prior to me being called. And when I took my hands off the head of this young man after declaring the tribe of Manasseh, the mother's immediate response was, "You said Manasseh." I said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Why?" "I don't know. I don't know. And I don't need to know." Okay? So one of the main elements of the patriarchal blessing is the declaration of lineage. You identify as being the family of God. There are other elements in the patriarchal blessing that may or may not be there. There's gifts of the Spirit that could be declared. And if I say that you receive the gift of the Spirit of charity, testimony of the reality of God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, and being a peacemaker, does that mean that's the only gifts you'll ever have? No. You may be able to identify other gifts of the Spirit that you have that are kind of in an embryo stage that you can nurture and develop and help grow and use and learn from and receive great joy and happiness. Mercy, generosity, virtue, translation, long-suffering, integrity, purity, temperance. So those of you who have received your patriarchal blessings, what's the length? I mean, are we talking about a page and a half, 2 pages? Anything over two? Anybody got one over 2 pages? He does? 5 page? That's rare. That's very rare. Yeah. Yeah. You have 3? Okay. Mine is a page and a half. I received my blessing when I was 16 from a patriarch that lived 3 or 4 doors down, who is the same patriarch that gave a patriarchal blessing to my twin brother. I've never read my twin brother's blessing, and he's never read mine. What's the point? He's not in charge of my blessings, and I'm not in charge of his. They're sacred and personal. They're personal scripture. We read in the Book of Mormon about likening the scriptures to us. We should apply the same principle to our patriarchal blessings. Liken the patriarchal blessing to us. I will share with you one part of my patriarchal blessing. It says that no one would go from my home hungry. Yes. And my wife has been the one who has helped fulfill that promise, that no one has gone home away from our home hungry. And then about, I was called as a patriarch about 10 years ago. About 7 years ago, I realized people were coming to my home, these individuals, to receive their patriarchal blessing, and I'm not feeding them any food. But then I thought, my patriarchal blessing is being fulfilled two different ways. They are receiving spiritual nourishment, spiritual food, that they can feast on much longer than the physical food that I could give them. So when you look at your patriarchal blessing, liken it unto yourself. See if there's this blessing is going to be fulfilled more than one way. President Hinckley talked about receiving his patriarchal blessing. He says that the patriarch came to our home to give us children patriarchal blessings. I can't imagine. I guess I don't have enough faith to do more than one patriarchal blessing a day. I did it once, and I decided I can't do that. But here, a patriarch came to give, as President Hinckley says, us children patriarchal blessings. And this was when President Hinckley was not yet 11. In other words, he couldn't say I was 10 years old. He says I was not yet 11. He said the patriarch told him that he would bear his testimony among the nations of the earth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he went on a mission to England. And back in those days, they let you tour at the end of the mission. And he went to Germany and France and New York City and had opportunities to bear his testimony of the gospel. And then he said, that part of my blessing has been fulfilled. Then he said, little did I know that I would raise my voice and testimony of the truth among the nations of the earth more than once. So look at your patriarchal blessing often and see how it's being fulfilled and how you can help it be fulfilled. So patriarchal blessings give promises, may give you gifts of the Spirit, may give you warnings, cautions. I recall one blessing that I gave to a young lady, cautioning her about the music she would listen to. And when we were through, she said, I'm not involved with music. I don't listen to music. Why? I don't know. I can't give you the answer. If you receive your patriarchal blessing and you read in it something that you have a question about and you want to call a patriarch and say, what does this mean? He's going to say, I don't know. I was impressed to declare that in your blessing, but I don't know why. But you get to find out. Okay? So a little caution about patriarchal blessings. We've talked about some of these. We've indicated that the blessings are contingent upon your faithfulness. You should prayerfully and regularly read your blessing and ponder it. We believe these blessings are given by the Spirit. It's best understood by the Spirit. They're sacred and personal. We don't post them on social media. We don't read them from the pulpit. We don't share them with casual friends or acquaintances. We may be inspired to share them with close family members. Patriarchal blessings are brief. They cannot possibly cover what kinds of things you may have in this life and the next. President Boyd K. Packer, a previous apostle, and President Corman XII said, patriarchal blessings are pages in our book of possibilities. If there's a future development that's not stated, for instance, if I declared a blessing and it did not say anything about a mission or marriage, that doesn't mean that's not going to happen. It can. We've talked about the fact that members of the same family may have their lineage declared as from different tribes, and we should view our blessing as from an eternal standpoint. Some blessings cited in your patriarchal blessing may not be realized until the next life. And that's okay. One of the gifts of the Spirit might be patience. And we may need to have patience.
Can be like a map?
That's the, one of the beauties of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is if we find ourselves off the path, when we recognize we're off the path, we can repent and get back on the path. That's one of the beauties of the of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me read a quote about the Abrahamic covenant. The ultimate blessings of the Abrahamic covenant are conferred in holy temples. These blessings allow us to come forth in the first resurrection and inherit thrones, kingdoms, powers, principalities, and dominions to our exaltation and glory in all things. That's Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 19. The fulfillment of the ancient Abrahamic covenant is feasible only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, his atonement. It is he who has made it possible for us to dwell with God, with him, and with our families eternally. That's the Abrahamic covenant. If you want some reading material in the scriptures to find some blessings, patriarchal blessings given in them, Moroni chapter 10 is a good one. Doctrine and Covenants, section 46 is a good one. 49th chapter of Genesis is a good one. 49th chapter of Genesis. And the blessings that Alma gave his sons in chapters 39, 40, and 41 or something like that, there's three or four chapters that talk about gifts that he wants his sons to realize. And one of the great discourses of the plan of salvation, the plan of happiness, is given by Alma to his son who strayed and then repented. It helps us understand more fully the particulars of resurrection, of when we pass from this life and go to the next life. Are we going to paradise? It's a great dissertation of the plan of salvation and the plan of happiness. I wanted to read section 46, where it talks about gifts of the Spirit. Let me read verse 29, and I'll read it twice, and I'd like you to ponder it and tell me who you think it may be talking about. That unto some it may be given to have all those gifts, all the gifts of the Spirit, that there may be a head, in order that every member may be profited thereby. So let me read it again. That unto some it may be given to have all those gifts, that there may be a head, in order that every member may be profited thereby. The prophet. Do you think President Nelson has all of the gifts of the Spirit? I believe he does. I've never met him. I just am a witness to his prophetic counsel and instruction and testimony. I believe he has all the gifts of the Spirit. You've probably heard the story where he'll wake up in the middle of the night and have thoughts to come to him, and he's got a paper and a pencil next to him, and without trying not to disturb his wife, he will get up on the side of his bed and write those thoughts down as they come to him in the middle of the night. And I can testify that that's true as a patriarch. I will have thoughts and impressions day and night, anticipating some young person coming to receive their patriarchal blessing, normally on a Sunday. Yesterday I had that experience. I know one of the blessings that I need to declare this coming Sunday. And yes, I made a note. Now, some people might think that that is not according to the order of revelation, that I should only have the revelation given when I have my hands on the individual's head. I don't believe that's true. I think that I'm entitled to Revelation for that person's blessing when their recommend is assigned to me to give it. And I believe that I'm entitled to that revelation just prior to the blessing. And I'm okay making a note or two because I'm getting old and can't remember everything I ought to, right? And then after the person leaves, my wife, her church calling is to transcribe the blessing. She's the scribe. She's doing the same thing that her mother did when her father was patriarch. She loves doing it. And then I review it to make sure that the English is right. I don't speak perfect English, but I know somewhat of the English language. And when I speak, I'll have run-on sentences, and then I'll correct that as I'm going through finalizing the blessing. And as I'm going through it, if I read a word or a phrase that does not describe the feeling that I experienced, words will come to mind and I will change the words. So that it'll say exactly what the Spirit wants that blessing to say. But once I hit submit and print the blessing, I hit submit to send it to the church archives, and I print a hard copy for the individual, I'm no longer entitled to inspiration for that blessing. So if the person calls up and says, you said thus and thus in my blessing, what does this mean? I'm going to say, I have no idea. But you're responsible to find out what it means. Let me bear my witness to you that this is one of the peculiar blessings that you can receive. We're a peculiar people. We're a peculiar church. I'm not aware of any other church that has this kind of individual attention given by God to his child. And I declare to you that those patriarchal blessings will be fulfilled in their time and in their way as you are true and faithful to the covenants that you've made. And I offer that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.